my thought process always is, if it's not there, why don't you just figure out a way to make it happen? You don't have to move to get what you want. You don't have to change your entire life to get what you want. You can stay right where you are and where you're happy and just build something from the ground up. And so that's why we did it, was to basically give ourselves opportunity to continue to be performers and artists. Movement Continuum is one massive experiment of hoping that I don't, and my dancers don't, and the company doesn't just fail, you know, in front of everybody.
On today's show, Paducah native and Lexington resident Kate Hadfield Antonetti tells the story of Movement Continuum, a contemporary dance company that allowed her and her friends the opportunity to continue what they loved right where they were. And in knowing they just finished season 8, the experiment has far from failed. This is Something from Nothing. I'm Justin Lewis. Stay tuned. Support for Something from Nothing comes from Taylor Group PLLC at 15th and Jefferson in Paducah. For both businesses and individuals, Taylor Group works with clients to achieve financial viability in the present while being proactive for future goals. More about their services at taylorgroupplc.com. A community-minded accounting firm, they also have an appreciation for the creative process and the individuals involved. As Kate told me, there is no blueprint for a dance company. Kate had to figure it out for herself. This was a completely organic process. She told me that she and four friends were sitting around relaxing after a Friendsgiving.
And I just asked everyone, what if we start our own dance company? Why can't we do this? Why isn't this feasible?
Well, there are a few reasons it may not be feasible. According to Kate,
one, none of us knew what we were doing. So that's the biggest roadblock. Several of us had been choreographers before, but we had never produced a full-length production ever. None of us had done that. We'd only produced pieces here and there. So I didn't know how to write a show. I didn't know how to light a show. I didn't know how to costume. I didn't know how to choreograph an entire show. I didn't know what kind of seating arrangement I wanted my audience in. We genuinely knew nothing.
This obviously required a ton of energy and resilience. It is challenging enough to put on a show if you have done it before. But for something that truly comes from nothing, no training, no guide, no dance show for dummies book, it's worth hearing the story of, that's for sure. So yeah, Kate didn't know much, but she knew enough to make it happen. Kate was fully aware of her desire to dance, and that is ultimately what set this in motion. Before the story of Movement Continuum, some background on the driving force that brought this to fruition.
My mom put me in dance when I was barely 4 years old at Beverly Rogers Academy of Dance in Paducah, Kentucky. And I think she did it just as she wanted to see her little girl, like in a tutu and pink ballet shoes on stage. And I know that she had no idea that it would turn into what it turned into.
It turned into Kate dancing all the way through high school, then at the University of Kentucky as a performer. It was at UK where she was first introduced to doing choreography. Kate finished college in a dance ensemble. She even started teaching dance. As she reflected on her time as a dancer, she loved the performing.
And I loved being on stage, and I loved the training process and everything behind it.
She went on to talk about her current passion for dance. She said the main reason is because it's
probably the closest you'll ever be to fully understanding your body. And because I love the power that you feel. You really recognize how powerful your own body is whenever you're training as a dancer. It is brutally difficult. It is very hard, but it teaches you a lot of lessons about perseverance, dedication, pushing through pain, being committed, what it means to sacrifice something for art. And I love that the athleticism of dance meets artistry. And so I get all of those things in one, along with being a performer and an artist and being in front of an audience. And you also get to play dress up a lot, which is very fun, and be a different person than you are on any given day.
Speaking of being a different person, Kate reflected back to when she initiated the show.
I'd been out of college for just a few years. I was very young. I really didn't have a lot of knowledge about anything. I was like working retail jobs and doing weird side hustle gigs and teaching kids how to dance, you know. Hadn't really had a ton of responsibility in my life yet. I've always been strongly ambitious, and I think mainly I've been missing a part of my brain that tells you you should be scared of things, or like, be cautious, this might be hard. Take your time. You don't have to rush. I miss those things. And I just kind of jump in head first. And I still am that way, but a younger version of me was very much that way. There was not a lot of consideration about anything. It was just like, yes, I'll do it. And I'll figure it out later. And that was kind of how I lived with the company for the first couple of years, was I have no idea what I'm doing, but yes, I can. Sure.
Kate told me if she had been older, Movement Continuum may not exist, but it does. And here's how it happened. First, after that fateful Friendsgiving,
I made out all these agendas with bullet points of what we needed to talk about in order to make this a reality, and just brainstorming. So we started having those meetings.
And that is where they came up with the name for the company, Movement Continuum, which she gives credit to one of her friends.
Then we came up with a theme for the show. And then we decided what songs we liked and what we were going to choreograph. And I started trying to write my first show.
The first show was called Flaming Youth and is set in the 20s.
And the entire point of the production was to juxtapose the similarity between women's issues in the 1920s and where we are today.
Kate said the initial show included 8 dances. And at the time, they felt that number was on the long end, which is humorous to her now because in 2017... they put a show together that had 58 pieces, 50 more than the original show, which they thought was extended. But back to the first show. As you can imagine, putting on a show like this takes a lot of practice. And studios? Well, they aren't just readily available. Fortunately for Kate and company, they had a connection. They may have been short on money for the first show, but Kate and another one of the dancers were teaching at a studio, so they were able to use the studio for free. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, a schedule they still hold to this day. So, for the first show, Kate is hitting up consignment stores, honing, and some sewing skills for costumes, all with another job. She was hustling. Then, there was picking out the music for the show, which she said is a very important part of the performance. She said she obsessively listens to music in her car, at home. She listens to everything she possibly can, and has an intuition when she has found just the right thing, like this one from the first show. If you think that a kiss is on the lips, come on, you got it all wrong, man. And if you think that a dance was all in the hips, oh well, then do the twist. If you think holding hands is all in the hips. As you can tell from this White Stripes song, Movement Continuum is not your little sister's dance recital. The show is not just a row of dancers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but in Movement Continuum, there's a story being told. But no words, no singing. It is all told through dance. Kate talked more about the challenges involved when writing a show.
One thing has to happen in every dance. You know, one main thought. You can't have tons of different things because the audience can't process it. Because when you really think about it, the body is moving so quickly that, it, you know, you can't convey multiple themes in one 3-minute piece because it's too fast. You can't understand it. So you pick one thing for one piece that you're trying to say. And then the next piece is one thing that you're trying to say. And you build it that way. And you just have to be very clear with how you stage the pieces, meaning where the dancers are standing and how they're interacting with one another. We have started using a lot of video projections that are projected onto a scrim, or we say scrim, but it's like a screen behind us on stage. Those help a lot with where we are, like in space. And by space, I mean like the world, you know? So we use these video projections. Landon does most of them that are moving. So if we're in a forest, then, you know, the camera is moving through a forest with the leaves and things like that. And every little bit that you add to staging or scenery or set design or costuming or how you decide to stage the dancers gives your audience a little bit more of the world. And the longer that they're in it, the more they understand the characters, and then they start picking up on the story quicker. So you kind of set things up slowly, mm-hmm. so everybody kind of gets immersed, and then you can start being a little bit more detailed. But I think a lot of it is just like knowing when to make it less complicated, simplify it, mm-hmm. you know, make it easy for your audience to understand, which is really, really hard. And I have not done a very good job of it, honestly, until probably this past season. I started to get a handle on myself, but it's very difficult because you want your audience to know so badly what you're trying to say. Mm. And so sometimes you put so much more in there than you really need to, because you really want them to get it. And I'm just kind of, I don't know if I'm just like tired or what, but I've started being like, yeah, we don't need that. Let's cut that, cut this, you know, kill your darlings, pick the main pieces and forget about everything else. You know, those can be another show some other time, but it is difficult. And you just kind of hope that when you get out to the lobby afterwards and you talk to your audience, they understand what happened. But I try to pick very accessible stories. So we've just recently started really picking up on like a lot of children's literature and fiction. And that helps because the audience comes in knowing a version of this story. So they already know kind of what's going on. And then they just have to be able to interpret your twists and turns on what they already know.
For example, the most recent show built from the book, Where the Wild Things Are. Telling the story in dance requires a creative process. Kate, tell me how she choreographed her shows.
You know, one of the ways that you can start choreographing is by improvising, is just by improvisation. So it means that there is silence or there's music or whatever you want to use as your soundscape, and you move and you do something and you think, I liked that. I liked the way that looked. That looked nice. And so you go back and you try to do it again, just the way that you did it before. And then maybe this time you do something slightly different and it has a different spin, or you come out of it differently. And so then you add that, and then you go back and you try it again. But the best thing that helps me with choreographing is the music that I'm using, the music, the lyrics, and doing my best to make the body look like what the music sounds like. Leave the wasting world behind us. We will make it out alive. Normally I go in entirely cold to rehearsals. So meaning I know the music exceptionally well. I'll probably have listened to it quite a bit of times before I enter a rehearsal. But a lot of times I go into the rehearsal and create there with the dancers in front of me. I don't always prepare the movement beforehand. Sometimes I like to just go in and see what happens. And it's kind of like Christmas, because nobody knows what's going to happen or what's going to come out of it. Other times I get really fixated on wanting to prepare it. And that normally involves my kitchen and a Diet Coke and the music and both of our cats and me in sock feet playing the music and trying something and then playing again and trying it and trying to catch my reflection, like in the doors that go outside, because they're windows and I can kind of see myself. So it just depends entirely on my mood and how much time I have. It's really amazing to see how movement translates from your body onto another body. So whenever you set work on a different dancer and you see what they look like doing it in comparison to what you look like. So the individuality that's placed on the movement. But then how you can work together as a group to fine tune everyone to look exactly the same. So it's magic and it's chaos. And then it becomes this one solid, beautiful working organism with several different bodies involved.
By all measures, Kate has been successful in this endeavor. Sold out crowds, the thrill of performing in front of packed houses. Kate has even worked to make this a nonprofit. She noted her English degree was a big help when writing grants. But with all this in mind, Kate expressed how she best measured success.
What makes me feel successful is if the dancers have come together more as a family, if they work well together, if they laugh a lot together, if they've become friends. Because a lot of us, we wouldn't know each other at all if it wasn't for this company. We would have never met, you know? So it's how we mesh together as a group. How much everyone supports each other is really important to me, encourages one another. How much they laugh together. That's like my favorite thing, is hearing everybody just like cutting up and laughing and keeping things light. And it's really, that's what determines success to me, is how much joy we're bringing into each other's lives. And if we feel proud of ourselves, that's what makes me feel successful. You know, if nobody came, that would make me very sad, obviously. It's more important to me that we love what we're doing, because then the audience loves it too, because they can tell that we're a family. That's what makes it feel successful.
Due to her hard work, this is now her full-time gig. And this all started because a girl who loved to perform wanted to keep dancing. But as she matured, it isn't the desire to keep dancing that's kept her going.
I used to live to perform. I just wanted to be on stage, and I wanted to be under the lights, and I wanted to have the attention, I think, and the limelight. And that was when I was like early 20s. But as I've gotten older, I love watching other people do it. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. I want to create the world. I want to make something magical and beautiful for other people to watch or to be involved in. And I want to have the experience of collaborating and creating more than I want people to know that I did it. So I like to set the work and see how others interpret it. And then I like working with them to make it something even greater than what we imagined. That's my favorite thing.
Kate said she plans on keeping this going for the foreseeable future. This has been Something From Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Support for this season of Something From Nothing comes from Paducah's Taylor Group, PLLC, a community-minded accounting firm proud to support the creative process. Offering small business consultation, tax services, retirement planning, and more, Taylor Group works to help clients achieve financial viability. There's more about their services online at taylorgroupplc.com. For more on Movement Continuum, go to movementcontinuum.org. There you can see work by her husband, Landon Antonetti. He makes all the promo videos, and they're top of the line. Something From Nothing is also on Instagram and Facebook. Check it out for more on the artists, including Movement Continuum. Another episode next week featuring the creative process and the individuals involved. Joshua Grogan helped with this episode by writing down all the stuff Kate said. And she is quite a talker, so thanks a lot, Josh. This episode was produced by me, your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.